The fight for Illinois governor is the main event this November, though the attorney general's race is shaping up as a worthy undercard. Republican attorney general candidate Erica Harold will face Democratic state senator Kwame Raoul. Harold has spent a lot of time in McLean County recently, visiting ISU and the county fair, then again last night at a Women of the GOP event in Bloomington. She says voters here want an attorney general who will hold both parties accountable and take the partisanship out of the office to the extent possible.
People in the area also seem very focused on practical solutions that can have concrete impact on their communities, whether it's the opioid epidemic or other challenges facing communities. I think people want someone who can bring others together to leverage positive things that are already happening within the community and offer a positive vision going forward.
And you said that fighting public corruption would be a big priority for you if you were elected. In what levels of government do you sense that there's a need for more investigative and prosecutorial resources on corruption?
A specific area is the public access counselor within the attorney general's office, because that's the area that's charged with enforcing compliance with the Freedom of Information Act and the Open Meetings Act. And it's my understanding from talking to people that sometimes there's a backlog within that office. And the importance of those statutes is a timely compliance. And so you want to make sure that you're able to give voters and constituent groups, media, watchdog groups, and citizens the kind of documents they need in a timely manner. So that's a way of preventing corruption from occurring within the first place. And so because that office is part of the Attorney General's office, I would be arguing that additional resources and personnel need to be allocated towards that to better equip it to do its job to help prevent corruption.
Well, and assuming that the Attorney General's office is not given additional budget to accomplish that, where do you take from to add additional resources to a public access counselor?
One of the things is looking at whether there are more documents that local governments can make accessible online just as a matter of course. I think we have a lot of technological advantages right now, and it's important to leverage those as much as possible. So to the extent that there can be certain documents and contracts that are just placed on a website, then people who are wanting to see those documents can see whether they're accessible and available. And hopefully being able to better leverage technology equips people with the information they need to be able to make the decisions that are necessary.
Well, let's flip over to criminal justice reform. It's been a key part of your platform. What are your priorities when it comes to criminal justice reform?
One of my priorities is enhanced use of what are called problem-solving courts. So drug courts, mental health courts, and veterans courts. And those kind of courts give judges discretion to be able to assess the totality of someone's background and to see if maybe there are other diversion opportunities that might be more suitable for that person as opposed to just incarceration. I know McLean County already has a very successful drug court. And so I'm looking at the counties that are already having success and hoping to amplify those efforts to encourage other counties to adopt it. Another thing that I think would be important is expungement summits. Oftentimes, people are eligible to have certain parts of their criminal record expunged after a certain amount of time. But oftentimes, people just aren't aware of that. They're not aware of the process. And there are certain fees that become impediments for people to access that. So Champaign County has a very successful expungement summit that brings together lawyers who volunteer their time on a certain day. The circuit clerk will waive certain filing fees, and also social service providers will come out to talk about resources that are available. And I think things like that really equip people to have a second chance. It makes it easier for people to have access to housing and job opportunities. And that's really something that's important to strengthening our communities.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Erica Harold, the Republican nominee for Illinois Attorney General. She'll face Democrat Kwame Raoul in November. So kind of related to drug courts is there were more than 2,000 opiate-related deaths in Illinois last year. There were a lot of things in motion across the state to address that. Locally, there's some things statewide with the Illinois Department of Human Services. So what is the role of the Attorney General's office in all that? How would you contribute to this issue and this fight against opioid-related deaths?
I've done a couple or several roundtables throughout the state on the issue of the opioid epidemic to find out what are the strategies that are working well in communities and what are the greatest barriers. And then I've tried to assess what can the Attorney General's office uniquely do. And one issue is the need for additional facilities to treat people and for people to be able to be connected with the available beds and the available opportunities at the time in which they're trying to seek treatment. I've talked to a lot of law enforcement and mental health providers and substance abuse counselors, and they talk about how critical it is to be able to provide somebody with a opportunity to have treatment at the moment they've decided to do that. So there's a safe passage program that law enforcement in many communities, they work to provide that access to treatment, but trying to highlight across the state where are the areas where there are beds that are available so that if somebody in a particular county, they're aware that this person's seeking treatment, but there are no facilities available in that county, trying to find ways to expedite that person's ability to get into another facility. Because if you lose that critical window or moment of time, sometimes you've lost the opportunity to be able to provide treatment. And if a bed opens up in that person's county, maybe 3 months from now, that person may no longer be in a position where they are prepared to seek the treatment.
In practice, what does that look like? Is that something, is that a website that the Attorney General's office maintains that coordinates bed access? I mean, what would that actually be?
So I've been asking people about what kind of information and data is already collected at the treatment center level, because I don't believe in unfunded mandates. And so you have to always be realistic about the fact that this is Illinois, so there's not going to be an excess or surplus of resources right now. And from what I've understood in talking to different treatment providers, there isn't right now any sort of database that is accessible to people throughout the state to be able to see in real time what sorts of areas have open beds or open facilities. And so I'm still talking through with some of the treatment providers to find out what kind of a database, if any, would address that. But that seems to me to be an unmet need where it would not require a large amount of additional resources, but it's about actually using the data that's already being collected at the treatment center level.
Well, you've taken meetings with business leaders around the state talking about economic development opportunities and ways to strengthen Illinois businesses. What role do you think the Illinois Attorney General's office has and will play in improving the state's economy?
One of the things that I think that the Attorney General can do is to set forth a series of reforms as it relates to Illinois' workers' compensation system. When you look at our system in comparison to other states, ours is not competitive, and it often places companies and employers at a disadvantage when they are bidding for different projects or when companies are deciding where to expand. And obviously, the General Assembly would have to be the entity that ultimately enacts those reforms, but the Attorney General can certainly set forth ideas. And there are specific ideas that I think need to be set forth. And actually, the current Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, wrote a memo and released it talking about the ways in which Illinois' workers' compensation reform system should be reformed. And the workers' compensation system should be reformed. And I would draw from specific reforms that she has proposed, because this is not about partisanship. And it's important to talk about, here are ideas that come from a Democrat who's been there for 16 years. Let's make some progress on those ideas so that we can make sure that the people who need to be compensated are fairly and quickly compensated, and that we don't have claims that should not otherwise be covered within the system.
What is a sort of a bipartisan idea that you've come across that you would support when it relates to, as it relates to workers' comp, that you would lobby for and hopefully the General Assembly would address?
I think that a specific one is we need to have a causation standard that makes it clear that the kind of injuries that should be covered within the system need to be ones that are caused by performing your duties of employment on the job. And right now, the legal standard is a little bit more nebulous or ambiguous, and so that makes it much more difficult for judges, and it makes it more difficult for employers when they are trying to know exactly what's expected of them. And the purpose of a workers' compensation system is to make sure that you're not requiring people to go through an entire litigation process in order to have their injuries covered. And so it's very important to have rules that are concrete so that everyone knows what those rules are, and people can quickly decide whether that standard has been met. But if it's if it's a standard that's ambiguous, then it makes it much more difficult to have that level of predictability.
Well, a few weeks ago, you spoke to the Coal and Mining Expo in Southern Illinois. Coal business is part of a big part of the Southern Illinois economy. In those remarks, you had said that the last thing that Illinois needs is another attorney general who will do the bidding of the environmentalist activist groups. What do you mean by that?
Senator Raul proposed a piece of legislation, Senate Bill 3005, that would change the standard of who has standing to challenge certain permits and certain agency decisions. And there was a environmental group that was actually the entity that drafted that piece of legislation. And what I have emphasized for the entire course of this campaign is that it's not the job of the Attorney General to pick winners and losers, that Illinois benefits from having a multiplicity of energy sources. All of those companies must comply with the law because everyone wants to make sure that we have clean air, clean water, and making sure that all companies are complying with Illinois' environmental standards. But I don't think that adding this additional standing, which would allow people who don't even live in Illinois to challenge agency decisions issued by Illinois agencies, I don't believe that that actually helps the interests of all Illinoisans. And I think it just adds to a litigious environment that makes it more unpredictable for entities who are going through the permitting process.
So voters should not read those comments in any way as you stepping away from the environmental enforcement actions that the Attorney General's office takes?
I would absolutely make sure that everyone complies with all of our laws. That's the number one job of the Attorney General. But I believe very much that it's not the Attorney General's job to pick winners and losers among industries. It's just to make sure that everyone is complying with the law. And that's what my comments reflect.
It has been a relatively violent spring and summer here in Bloomington-Normal. Between April and June, we had 7 fatal shootings in Bloomington-Normal, which is highly unusual for this community. Most, if not all, involved stolen guns. I know it's been a violent month up in Chicago as well. Well, not directly in your purview, you'll be one of Illinois' most prominent law enforcement officials if you were to be elected. So how do you think we can reduce gun violence in Illinois?
I think, first of all, we have to look at the different types of gun violence because the different type will tell us the best practice. So, for example, domestic violence, that you would want to look at specific issues of orders of protection. You have gang violence, you have school violence. And I think looking at each one of those arenas is really important because there are different best practices that would be most effective. In the arena of school violence, that's an area where I have been involved for quite some time. My platform when I was Miss America was preventing youth violence and bullying. And some specific things that I think we can do within that arena. First of all, we need to have more after-school programs and opportunities for young people. There need to be safe places where they can be after school, and not just safe places, but safe places that give them opportunities to cultivate their potential and to give them opportunities to expand their horizons. There needs to be additional resources for law enforcement because community policing is the way that you are able to best reduce violence. You want communities to develop good relationships with law enforcement so that people feel comfortable communicating with law enforcement, both if they believe that a crime might occur or if they are trying to assist in solving a crime. There's also this concept of violence interrupters, so people who have relationships within the communities and can try to help de-escalate violence. I think we need to allocate additional resources towards those efforts because I think that they are very effective. And while the Attorney General can't unilaterally do those things, I would absolutely embrace the opportunity to highlight those as strategies that we need to address because we have to be more proactive in addressing those issues. And we have to think about the fact that we're talking about human beings that have potential. And in addition to the tragedy of the loss of life, there's loss of human potential there. Young people in particular who have creativity, dreams, and lives that need to be lived. And we need to do everything that we can as a society to ensure that they're able to fulfill that opportunity.
Well, you've talked a lot about the human being side of this issue of guns. And I do want to ask, though, as the person who would be responsible for defending Illinois' laws, should they be challenged in court, do you think that Illinois needs more laws that would restrict access to guns?
I think right now Illinois has a lot of laws on the books and they need to actually be enforced. As Attorney General, if the constitutionality of any Illinois law was at issue, it is the job of the Attorney General to defend the General Assembly's constitutional role in enacting that, and I would absolutely do that. But as Attorney General, I think I would have the ability to highlight broader issues as it relates to the issue of violence, and I think that's where I could uniquely offer my perspective.
So you are running against Democrat Kwame Raoul in November. You have a new ad that's online and maybe on TV as well that tries to tie Raoul to House Speaker Mike Madigan, arguing that corruption in Springfield leads to higher property taxes in this particular case. So in your view, what is that connection between public corruption and taxes?
Well, the property tax system in particular is riddled with conflicts of interest where you have specifically Speaker Michael Madigan, who's involved with tax policy, property tax policy, and then simultaneously running a business, a law firm, where you hire them to appeal your property taxes. That's a conflict of interest that creates problems for Illinoisans, especially those who don't have the ability to hire an attorney to appeal their property tax assessment. And especially in Cook County, the system has been very arbitrary, right? I mean, it is the subject right now of a lawsuit challenging some of the constitutional implications of the fact that if the assessments are reduced, that is passed on to other taxpayers, and it disproportionately impacts people who are unable or not able to afford someone to be able to advocate for their interests. And the reason why I highlighted Senator Raoul's involvement is that there was a piece of legislation that both he and Speaker Madigan were the chief co-sponsors, he in the Senate, Speaker Madigan in the House, that would have attempted to change the law to allow the city of Chicago to raise property taxes in excess of the statutory caps. And that is a problem. And so what I was challenging is the fact that Senator Raoul has not sought to reform the system while he's been in Springfield for the past 14 years, but in fact has sought measures that would have actually exacerbated the problem.
Republican Attorney General candidate Erica Harold was in town Monday evening for a Women of the GOP event hosted by McLean County Republicans. She'll face Democrat Kwame Raoul in November. Harold spoke with GLT's Ryan Denham.